When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is episode 198 of Bustin' Loose Baseball. You're going to hear from Eli Willis and Mike DiBartolo. But Toby, give people a little preview before we get into the pod here of those interviews that are coming up.
Yeah, it's funny just seeing Eli Willis around the ballpark. He's 17. We kind of thrown some pictures around, and you're like, well, he doesn't look like a 17-year-old. And definitely doesn't look like a 17-year-old in terms of the body. He looks like he could be someone that could step on a big league field and you wouldn't be alarmed by it. But then talking to him and just seeing his interactions and a little bit of nervousness, he's 17. It's crazy to think about. I can't imagine being the number one overall pick at 17 years old, but you'll get to hear my conversation with him coming up in a little bit. And then Mike DiBartolo met with the media after his introductory press conference with Eli Willis, and I think gave some interesting insights into the trade deadline and into that pick. So, you know, they clearly were in on Eli Willis. They wanted Eli Willis, and we talk a little bit about that. But the interesting part coming out of it, Grant, was there's been so much speculation swirling around about the Mackenzie Gore stuff, and DiBartolo kind of threw some fuel on that fire when he talked with, I think it was Barry Sferluga, answered a question in his first day on the job, or one of his first days on the job, talking with the media. He kind of walked that back a little bit, saying that Mackenzie Gore is a part of that core that he's not looking to trade. So I thought that was a little bit eye-opening, but some good little nuggets you can get out of DiBartolo's meeting with us after the introductory press conference for Eli Willis.
Yeah, and in the same way that maybe his first answer to Barry a couple of weeks ago wasn't the end-all be-all, I don't think cold water after the fact is either.
Correct.
Right? I mean, I think he strategically – probably said some pro Gore things this time around, because I think the open-ended answer of his previous answer on the topic made people think that maybe Mackenzie Gore is getting traded. But let's just call a spade a spade. It's not really anything DiBartolo is going to say or not say. I mean, the team, while maybe closer than people think, is not on the precipice of making the playoffs next year, barring a big offseason where they spend a lot of money. They are going to be a good ways away, I would think. And on top of that, Gore only has 2 years left of control after this. You know, if he had 4 years left, it's a different conversation. If he had 3 years left, maybe it's a different conversation. But with 2 years left, where it looks like now maybe his timeline doesn't match up with them really being able to make a playoff run, it actually makes a ton of sense to possibly trade him, something we'll get into in a little bit on the pod. In fact, there was – you know, one outlet that put together a package of deals. There were several of them that I saw, and I'll just run through some of those in a little bit. But you know, look, it's one outlet. I don't know that they're talking to scouts or how realistic any of the trades are. But when you go through them, you go, wow, this would be really good for the Nationals. Now, I do think it would do some damage, maybe even in the short term, some irreparable damage for some fans to trade another of your best players, another of your stars, literally right after an All-Star game. I don't think it's going to be at the deadline, for the record. I think it would be this offseason. I'd actually be shocked if they traded him at the deadline, although you can make the case maybe if you're going to trade him this offseason, you might as well, because the return's even bigger. The old Soto thing, right? The best time to trade him is right now because someone's getting three postseasons of him potentially. But I think you wait till the offseason, you deal him, you get three or four players, including a couple really good prospects back, and it would be the biggest return they've gotten from anything they've traded at any point other than Juan Soto. And so that Soto return, if you will, grows even bigger in a sense. You got all that control and, you know, performance out of Mackenzie Gore, who's getting better and better every year. And then you parlay that into, and I'll give some ideas of what it could look like. But, you know, another two bats in your system, or maybe three players, including a high-end pitching prospect, where you restart the clock on one of the better arms in the minor leagues or something that's not in the big leagues yet. So it's certainly something they have to consider. I understand fans are going to hate it and they don't want it, and they're going to scream about it, a lot of them. They did the same thing with Soto, and look what that got you. It's not going to be the same return, but I think my mindset will be very similar. I'd like to get to a point where you're out of this business, where you stop flipping these players and you actually can sign some of your own. The last point I'll make, Toby, is on Mackenzie Gore. If he was actually a candidate to re-sign, I'd feel differently. If he didn't have Scott Boras as an agent, or he wasn't a guy that's been ticketed for another market for the last few years, he's just not really a quote-unquote like DC guy, in my opinion. I've never thought he was one of the guys that was going to be here over the long term, then maybe I'd feel differently. Like, as an example, I have no interest in trading C.J. Abrams. I'm advocating and will continue to advocate for them re-signing him and keeping him around for the long term, and I'll loudly be screaming into a megaphone on that for the next year. Next year at this time, he'll be where Gore is in terms of controllability, and I'll still be preaching to sign him as a non-Boras guy, short of him changing agents. I just think this situation, everyone is different. Another Boras player who's likely leaving in 2 years. You're not as close maybe as we wanted you to be, even though I don't think they're actually as far away as their record. And so for all those reasons, I think a trade might actually make some sense.
Yeah, I'll continue to say this. I think it would be the stupidest thing they could do if you let an interim general manager trade away one of your best players. And I think we both let me quickly ask you, Grant, you think that DeBartolo ends up getting the job?
I think there's a really good chance of that. Yeah, I mean, they're going to do a thorough search and they're going to interview other people. But I think two reasons. One, as I said, the day he got the interim job, they're cheap. I think they know a work stoppage is coming and they don't want to spend a ton before the work stoppage. And so I think DeBartolo would be the favorite on a betting board at like minus 210 to get the gig.
Yeah, I tend to agree. That being said, he's still listed as the interim general manager, and there's still a chance that you go outside the organization and you're going to be looking at people and talking to different people. Since there's uncertainty at the general manager position, I can't let him trade away one of your most valuable assets. And while the difference between what you're going to get in the offseason and now might be a little bit different, it can't be that different. It's not like you're trading him with 1 year of control. But at the same time, Grant, that's where it gets interesting about the Mackenzie Gore thing, because if they traded him in season, I would be incredibly frustrated. If they trade him at this deadline, by the way, I don't think that's going to happen, but if they were to trade him at this deadline, then I'd be so far out on it. If they trade him in the offseason, I'm open to that idea. I think it would make sense. And the other part about it, like I said, he'd have 2 years of control, but might have to look at that 2 years a little bit differently, and almost like a year, year and a half, because of the impending work stoppage. We don't know what's going to happen with that 2027 season. There's a very good chance that it's shortened. There's a very good chance that it's not the full 162. And so I could guarantee you that in trade deliberations, teams will probably bring that up. And so while you may look at it as, oh, he's got 2 years left of control, other teams might look at it as like, well, year and then an uncertain year on top of that. And so I do think that in the offseason, that is definitely something you have to entertain a lot more. Now, that being said, I don't know that people would put Mackenzie Gore at this point in his career at the same level of a Garrett Crochet, but you got to look at what Garrett Crochet went for when he was traded from the White Sox to the Red Sox with just a year of control left. And that's why I'm not worried about doing it at the deadline, because you can still get a really, really good haul in the offseason. And all, by the way, not frustrate your fan base on the way out in the middle of the season, trading away one of their all-stars. So that to me is a couple of factors that you have to consider when you're going through this. But that's definitely something that'll be interesting to monitor. I don't think for the deadline. I just don't think that there's really that much of a shot of them actually pulling the trigger on that. But in the offseason, that is definitely something that I would say is probably going to be high on their priority list, because you can kind of reset the system a little bit. You can bring in some valuable pieces that can help you in the short term and the long term. And while you then open up a big hole in the pitching staff, you have some guys that could fill in, and potentially down the line, you've got your aces coming through the system in Travis Sikora, and Harleen Susana got back on the hill this past weekend. And then maybe you could have, you know, some of these pitchers that you just drafted end up getting developed as well. It would suck, but I think it would be prudent business, but not at the deadline.
Yeah, Alex Clemmy, when he throws strikes, looks like he could be a real fixture in the rotation. But like Susana, there's plenty of outings where his inconsistency is problematic. I'll go through some of these packages really quickly while we're on this. But I would just say I agree with your point on DeBartolo.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
In the sense that if they think there's a really good chance he's not the long-term general manager, then it wouldn't make a lot of sense to have him make the trade. I'm not nearly as adamantly against it as you are, because it's not like they brought some guy in from outside the organization to run the team for the rest of the year. Like, you see this sometimes in the NFL where, like, some guy like Charlie Casserly's you know, works for the league and someone brings them in to just get you to the end of the season, and you don't have the intrinsic knowledge of the system and the players and of Gore. I mean, DeBartolo's been the worker bee under Mike Rizzo for a really long time at this point. So there's really nothing he doesn't know or wouldn't be able to know. He's also the guy that often, you know, has worked the phones. Not to say he's made the trades. Mike Rizzo's got to sign off and tells him who to talk about or whatever, but he's done a lot of the legwork on some of these trades previously as well. I think that should be acknowledged. So I don't have nearly as big a problem with him making the trade if the package is better. And I think there's a chance you might be able to get one extra player thrown in. So I'll just give you some of these. Again, this is not like gospel, but this is from like Bleacher Report walk-off. They listed five destinations for Mackenzie Gore here. Among them, they've got the New York Mets, where they say Jonah Tong, who's their top pitching prospect, Nolan McLean, Jet Williams, and Carson Benj, who was just drafted. So that would be their number one, their number two, their number three, and their number four prospect. Now, I don't actually think Mackenzie Gore would net all of that, but I'm just going to tell you that if Mackenzie Gore was able to, then I would trade him for that package tomorrow. I know Jonah Tong very well. You and I saw him actually in person in West Palm Beach this spring. He was just in the futures game. I've watched many of his starts this year. He might be the best pitcher in the minor leagues right now. Has 132 strikeouts and 84 innings with a 1.70 ERA, 132 punchies on a 1.39 average against, and a sub-1 whip. He is an elite right-handed pitching prospect, one of the only guys in the minors who's been having as good or a better year statistically than Washington's top right-hander, Travis Sikora, and he's doing it now at the Double-A level. In the other prospects in the deal, Jet Williams is a 21-year-old shortstop outfielder, undersized guy, but hitting 290 right now in Double-A. He'd be in the big leagues next year. Not a ton of power. He's about 5'8", probably going to be like a 10 to 15 home run guy, but he'll steal 40 or 50 bags in the major leagues. He also is an on-base machine. He walked 100 times a couple years ago in the minor leagues. Nolan McLean is a right-handed pitching prospect who's at AAA, who's 23. He's got 100 strikeouts and 90 innings with a 200 average against and a 2.5 ERA. Again, at the highest level of the minors, he's essentially on the fringe of being big league ready. So you're talking about two rotational pieces. Now, I would again add, I'm not sure how realistic this package is. Like maybe you throw in Nathaniel Lowe or Kyle Finnegan or something. But if you could get a package like that, this, if that's actually what we're talking about, and I think that's pretty bullish and probably excessive, I think that's phenomenal, and I would do that in a second. The Mariners here, they list Gore and Lowe from Washington for Colt Emerson, who's the Mariners' number one prospect, Harry Ford, and Ryan Sloan, who are their number seven and eight prospects. Now, this isn't quite as good a deal as that Mets deal, which, again, is just otherworldly. But Emerson is an infielder who is one of the better hitting prospects in baseball. He's a left-handed hitter who's hitting about 270 right now and A+. He's a couple of years away at 20 years old. Harry Ford, I've never really liked as much as the industry, but he's a 22-year-old catcher in Seattle system who's hitting about 300. He's one of these guys who catches and can play other positions. He's uber athletic. You can put him in the outfield, and they have at times. He's a two-time futures gamer. And then the pitcher in that deal, Ryan Sloan, has made 15 starts and has 65 strikeouts and 57 innings. But he's in single A right now, pitching for Modesto, but he's huge. He's 6'5". He's 19 years old. He was a 65th pick last year. So he's just getting started. But these are the types of packages we're talking about, Tobes. I'll just run through a couple really quickly with less breakdowns. For the Cubs, Matt Shaw, who's already in the majors, who went to Maryland. Cade Horton, who was the 7th overall pick a couple years ago, is in the big leagues right now in the rotation. And then Moises Bisteros, a catching prospect, is one of the best catchers in the minor leagues. I would do that deal. The Dodgers are the deal here would be Gore and Finnegan for Dalton Rushing, catcher of the future, outfielder Zaire Hope, who's actually a Fredericksburg area guy who I love, and then a left-handed pitcher in Jackson Ferris, who's got a chance to be a nasty big league starter. He's in Double-A right now at 21 years old, and he currently has made 15 starts and has 89 strikeouts and 79 innings. The last package they throw out there for Gore and Lowe is the Red Sox for Willier Abreu, who's in the majors, and then a shortstop prospect, Franklin Arias, and Peyton Tolley. So I guess the point I would say is if this is the type of price tags we're talking about, and I think a couple of these are probably over the top, but then it's a no-brainer to me. Like, not only am I willing to do it, but I'm excited to do it sooner rather than later. I would just have to know how realistic these types of packages are.
Yeah, I mean, some of the prospects that you named in there are incredibly intriguing, especially guys like a Jonah Tong could maybe step in almost right away and take that rotation spot. Not to say that you're going to get the same sort of results, but you could get somebody that could help you right away at the big league level and still develop, and you have plenty of control. But that being said, I continue to say, if it's something, I just don't see that there's going to be a massive difference from now to the offseason. Yeah, maybe it adds another player, but again, I just can't let an interim general manager, even though we both think he's getting the job, even the fact that there's a potential that it could be someone else. And by the way, if they don't interview other people, if they don't go outside the organization and try to interview people in the offseason, then that would be malpractice as well. So for that reason, I'm just not trading him at this deadline. I don't think it's making a massive difference. It's not like you're trading this guy from a year of control to a rental. You're trading him from 2.5 years to 2 years.
Let me ask you this, Toby, real quick. So, because I think your point's a good one, right? But if you lose, like, in a 3 or 4 player package, one of the really good prospects, to have him pitch the rest of this season in a lost year for a bad team as you're effectively playing out the string. And let's call us what it is. Like, you're a month away from a lot of fans checking out anyway, because the NFL season is here and there's going to be 8,000 to 15,000 people on some days at Nats Park or whatever. Is that really worth it? I'm just saying, in that hypothetical, you may not completely agree with that, but I think it's perfectly reasonable to throw another player that you like a lot into a deal to get another postseason of a guy. So let's just say that's accurate. You still would wait it out?
I wouldn't do it, because say that there's a chance, Grant, that you go sign a guy from the Tampa Bay Rays, or you go sign someone from one of these analytical organizations, which I would absolutely love if they were to do that. But say you do that, if they don't go with DeBartolo and they walk in and go, those weren't the guys I would have gone with. I'd rather just still have Mackenzie Gore and have made the trade myself. I don't want that. We'd never find out fully about that, by the way. I don't know that we'd fully get that answer, but I just can't let a guy who has about as certain a future as, like, it still has the name interim in front of it. Even though we both think he's going to get the job, there still is a chance that he doesn't. Just can't do it, Grant. I get that maybe you could get an extra player, but that extra player isn't going to be the headliner in the deal. That extra player is probably, you know, I would love to see some of these deals get done if they're, you know, actual possibilities. I just don't think that is. Like, if you trade him now versus trading him later, like, you wouldn't miss out on Jonah Tong. Like, he'd be the headliner. You might miss out on Carson Benj or one of the last guys, for the example of the Mets one. Right. And I can live with that.
When you trade a guy like Gore, as we've talked about a lot, the whole point is to get a silly return. You're trying to get the most good talent, throw it into your system as possible. And I guess where I'm at is, it's the same as Soto. Now, the Soto factor was different because there was no interim general manager. And I'm not, I think that point is actually a really good one that you keep coming back to. And, but people didn't want to trade Soto. You know, a lot of them are like, oh, maybe in the offseason, but I want more time with him, basically. And it's like, no, the reason you got the package you got was the 3 postseasons. And especially for a number one type starting pitcher, and maybe that's a little bullish if he runs out of steam here. But, I mean, Mackenzie Gore could unequivocally change a postseason series for a team. So the you know, when we're talking about 2 postseasons or 3 postseasons for a guy like Mackenzie Gore, it's a massive difference. And I do think the return will be significantly different as well.
Yeah, may be the case. Still can't do it. Interim general manager is what I'll continue to return to. Also, if you want anyone to care about anything about this team, you can't just do it. I just don't think that it makes any sense to do it right now. I don't think it makes that much of a difference. Garrett Crochet was traded.
Crochet is a better player, though. I mean, in fairness,
he is, but he's not like, it's not like he's just, maybe I'm wrong on this, but he's not like head and shoulders. Like, he's a tier above Mackenzie Gore. But he's still got a lot of stuff in an offseason. with a year of control, and then the Red Sox ultimately signed him to an extension.
Totally.
While
you could definitely, yes, you're not wrong. I mean, you're still going to do well. Like if the baseline is you trade him in the offseason.
That's why I'd wait right there, because you're still going to get a good package in the offseason.
But my point is, who cares about the last half of this season? Now, I stick with your interim GM thing is a good argument. And if that's all it is, then that's fine. But I think there's plenty of people that it's not about that as much as they're just not ready to do it yet, or they're not willing to do it. And my point, I go back to my axiom with Soto, and it proved correct, right? Which is like the best time to trade him is never, and the second best time is now. And it is case by case. Again, I'm not one of these people that's just ready to sell everything that's not bolted down. I think in Gore's case, he is absolutely not going to be here. It was the case with Juan Soto. And if so facto, basically, then you make the change. But I totally get your logic. I get your thinking. I'm not saying that they have to. I'm saying if I was Mike DiBartolo and I was told you can do what you want, I would be working really hard to put the best packages together to see what they look like right now. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely listening. I mean, he's kind of said as much. You'll hear at the end of the episode that he basically said, it's my job to listen. He also said that he wasn't intending to trade anybody from the core, and he referred to Mackenzie Gore as a part of that core. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's not going to trade him, doesn't necessarily preclude him from doing anything. He doesn't owe us anything in terms of the media scrum answering questions. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. I just don't think that a half season is going to make a massive difference in the trade package. And with all the things swirling around the team right now, I just don't think that letting an interim general manager trade him, because to be honest with you, Grant, the crazy part would be, you know, this could all blow over if he were to trade him and DiBartolo keeps the job and all that. But in the off chance that DiBartolo is not the long-term general manager and he traded Mackenzie Gore, what would be, say, 5 years from now when we look back, like, what the heck? They let a guy that was on the job for half a year trade away their ace? That makes no sense.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, again, though, he's been here the entire time, so he's not any different. No,
I don't disagree, though, except for the fact that I don't know if he's the general manager moving forward. He knows the system. There's no question about that.
Right. I'm just saying that the point of him not being able to, or not having the wherewithal to pull off the trade, to me only really makes sense in a world where, like, he's a hired gun coming in here to, like, babysit for a few months, which I don't think is necessarily the case at all. He's a guy that quite literally knows everything about Mackenzie Gore and has been here from day one. He knows every player in their system intrinsically. Mike Rizzo's texting and asking him, hey, who's this guy? What do we think of this guy? Like, that was his job. He was the guy to have all the answers, right? So, I mean, that's why it doesn't bother me nearly as much. I liked your point is interesting about, like, if you were to go get a grown-up GM from the Rays or something, which, again, color me, not hopeful. But we don't know if that would have been the package that they wanted, or would they have zeroed in on other players or whatever. I think that's a really good point. Like, this fake trade package that I just went through from the Mets, there ain't a GM, a candidate in the league that wouldn't hit yes on that button like this second, right? But again, I don't know that that's realistic, and it's probably not going to look like that. It would probably be like two, like Tong and one of, I don't even know if they would trade Jonah Tong, but maybe it's two of the guys not named Tong. This offseason, and it's the other three of the guys not named Tong right now or something. And it does get trickier at that point, right? When it's not like the easiest layup slam dunk deal ever.
Yeah. I just think that, to me, this also goes back to the timing of the Rizzo firing. That's just really, really weird. And then again, if he was going to be on a hot seat and not for certain returning next year, then it's just tough when guys aren't guaranteed to be a part of the organization. Not to say that DiBartolo would just go rogue and start doing stuff for the heck of it. You know, I think that the learners would, I would hope that if he was just doing stupid stuff would hop in, but I don't think he's going to do that.
You're okay with him trading Finnegan and Lowe, correct?
Yeah. Anything that's not bolted down, feel free.
I mean, Lowe's under contract for next year.
Yeah, but again, he's not a building block.
Okay,
he's
someone, so you're saying just the core.
Yeah, like, to me, you can't walk into this with the interim general manager, and while it's your job to take calls on everybody, Mackenzie Gore, CJ Abrams, James Wood, Dylan Cruz, you name it, guys like that, they're off the table. Anybody else, sure. Like, even if you wanted to trade a guy like a Luis Garcia, or no one wants K-Bert Ruiz, but if you were to trade, like, I can live with those. It's the guys that are the building block cornerstones that I can't let an interim guy do it. And in the offseason, when they remove the tag, probably, then sure, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I get it. We're going in circles so we can move on. All I care about is getting the best return possible. I think that's all that matters, is adding the most to the system whenever you could do that. But I certainly get the logic on that.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
That's going to be a debate that rages on here for some time, because I don't think it's likely that he gets traded at this deadline. And then we'll go into the off season, and there's going to be some fans that are livid, by the way, if it happens. I mean, there's 100%. There'll be fans that check out completely. It'll be the straw that broke a lot of people's back. I always say that you can't allow that to be a factor. I mean, 85% of the fans were irate about the Soto deal, and many of them said they'd never go back to the park or watch.
Well, in an ideal world, you could have another Soto deal. But for every Soto deal, which there really hasn't ever been one like a Soto deal, you get a Mookie Betts trade, which I think all thought that trade sucked when he was traded from the Red Sox to the Dodgers. Right. But look at what they got. So we can go through all these. And there's
sure,
a reason.
What I was going to say, hold on 1 second, is just like the Soto deal was – whether it worked out as well as it did or not, it was still the right thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the time that they did it. And people are fans, and they, you know, I got to tell my kids when Mackenzie Gore gets traded, and my son will cry. Like, that can't be the fact. There's still a right thing to do and a wrong thing to do. with the information they have, and the information they have internally on Soto was he is not going to re-sign with us, period. I think they have that same information on Mackenzie Gore. And if that is the case, then it changes everything and fans can be upset and you just kind of got to deal with it.
I will say, yeah. One thing that would be interesting about this, though, is when you look at, I've mentioned Crochet. If you look at Crochet's contract, there's no chance that this ownership group would give that out because they're just not giving out contracts right now to anybody. But when you're going into the impending lockouts and all that stuff, does it play in a factor that if they could potentially sell after? Now, granted, McGore would be up after that and he'd be a free agent and maybe it's not worth the squeeze there. Maybe this is something that's more pertinent to a CJ or potentially even James Wood or whoever it may be down the line. But I think that's an interesting part of this because Crochet got, I think it was like 6 for $180 or something like that, $30 million a year, which while a lot is not $700 million like Juan Soto got, you know, like it's an interesting thing that maybe down the line, ideally, they could be in the talks, even though, like you said, McKenzie maybe doesn't necessarily want to be here long term. Who knows? But I don't think that signing a guy like that is completely unreasonable. If anything ever changed, like that's the kind of guy I would sign that isn't absolutely unreasonably priced.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, in the ideal world, when you find a guy like Mackenzie Gore, which is hard to do, you sign him and you keep him. No doubt. And to your point, this is not Shohei money, you know. It would be, I'm just making up a number, but let's say it's 6 and 160, or maybe it would be 170 because a couple years later or whatever. I guess it'd be the exchange rate goes up 180, 190, whatever that looks like. But yeah, it's 30 some million a year, and it's what, you know, frontline starting pitchers that aren't future Hall of Famers like Scherzer cost. And I think it's perfectly reasonable. It's just his timeline doesn't match up to. First of all, the idea of a new ownership group is still a little bit of a pipe dream for the moment. But even in that world where we're willing to kind of hope and assume that that's the case, I mean, he's up before then. And you can't wait and just pray that that happens because at that point now, you risk losing him for a draft pick, you mm-hmm. know, instead of the four players that become four of your top nine prospects potentially or you know, ideally, the two arms that you bring in here that end up being rotational pieces where they're pretty light because of all the injuries again on pitching prospects, you know, other than Sakura, if you turn sideways and kind of, you know, squint, you can maybe talk yourself into Susana being a starter in the front of the rotation. But I think he ultimately ends up in the bullpen. And then it's a lot of other guys like Clemmie, I think, has the chance to be a dude, but he's got work to do. Hers, when he comes back from injury, maybe could prove himself to be a rotation piece, but it's two pretty good pitches at this point. You know, guys like Tyler Stewart and so many of those other arms, Jake Bennett, you know, you're kind of fingers crossed that they turn into something. But in terms of legitimate, like front, middle of the rotation, starting pitching, there's not a lot there, barring them having hit on a couple of these high school kids that they just drafted and you're years away from maybe getting that return.
Yeah, 100%. So it's just an interesting spot in the organization. And I definitely think that part of the reason that we're even having this conversation is to at least wake some fans up if they weren't fully aware that that's some of the conversations that's being had. Don't know for sure if that's the conversation that's being had in the organization and around the league, but some of the reports and people have started to kind of throw that around. And so don't be alarmed if that's something that pops up here at the deadline. Not to say that he necessarily is going to get traded, but if you start see reporting that the Nats are shopping him or teams are calling and whatnot, don't be surprised if that's the case. And don't be surprised if a trade were to come down. I don't think it happens at the deadline, but don't be surprised in the offseason if that's something that pops across your timeline one day that Mackenzie Gore gets traded.
So we talked a while back about Nathaniel Lowe, I remember in detail, and we kind of gave our takes. And at that time, I was kind of on the fence and said, you know, unless he could do really well, I probably wouldn't trade him because I'm worried that they won't have a better first baseman next year. They've been so bad, and at this point have just fallen so far that I actually now think they should trade him. I think it's a lock that they trade Finnegan, who they didn't trade last year, and it came back to bite him in the butt a little bit. Not knowing what they were offered, obviously, I just assume they should have done something. But to me, I think Finnegan goes. I think Lowe should go. Would you trade both of those guys?
Yeah. I mean, I personally wouldn't trade low because I don't, if you only got him for Robert Garcia, I can't imagine the package you're getting now is that great, but I could totally understand moving him, Finnegan, anybody on an expiring contract that I can get anything for, even if it's a bag of chips. Sorry. Like, it's just,
well, the bag of chips works. Will be taken away in the fifth inning.
Yeah, I mean, well, heck, I'll take four innings of chips. That's fine with me. But yeah, I mean, like Ahmed Rosario, if you can get anything, since he's a lefty platoon bat, anything, any of these guys. Josh Bell's been hitting the ball well recently. Would a couple weeks of an 800 OPS be able to get you something for Josh Bell? Sure. Like any of these guys that are on one, even 2 year deals, considering a low, or you know, have an extra year of control like Nathaniel Lowe, then sure. Especially the conversation that we had multiple pods ago about they're potentially not bringing him back because of what he's going to get in arbitration and all those things. Absolutely. If you want to move him, I wouldn't, unless the deal is good. But yeah, I mean, anybody that can bring some helpful people into this organization, 100%.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Walk off, baby! This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.